I can ride roller coasters all day. But when I'm doing it by myself, meh. They kind of lose their joy, right? You want to share life with people. That's what relationships bring. They bring joy. I belong. We are together. This is something that we do together. I when I see you, I'm glad to be with you. When you see me, you're happy. There's a smile on your face. You're glad to be with me. That's what joy looks like in relationship. And while technology has become a part of our relating with one another, I'm not going to go on a technology rant, I promise. Technology is a part of our culture. It's not going away, is it? But if that becomes our main mode or vehicle of relationship, there's things that are missing out of typing and posting things that are just not a part of real relationships. Real friendships go deeper. So do we use Facebook and all the different things? Sure, that's fine. I interact with people all the time on social media. But relationships are much deeper than that. Relationships are about life lived together. It's interacting and doing life together. It's relationships are about our eyes. It's about talking to somebody and seeing the countenance, the look on their face, the what's happening in their eyes as we gather. It's about showing up. It's about being there at important times, or just on an everyday regular, we get together, we talk on a regular basis. It's about touch. It's about conversations. And it's why we're learning to love one another. It's why we're learning how to be transformed through God's word and to serve together, because we're built for relationships. The church is kind of a picture of that. All the things that we're to do, all the one another's, love one another, serve, encourage, help one another, those are all things to be done within the context of relationships, time spent together, right? Without together, we don't do those things. So that's why all the things we're learning at the foundation is relationships together. Well, let's dig into our Proverbs verse. We'll read looking at four different ones today. So let's stand. We're going to read them together as we learn about doing life together better with friends, right? All right, let's read together. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 17:17. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Proverbs 27:6. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Proverbs 27:9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time in your word. These books of wisdom are so valuable in living out our lives and finding the way to do life better, how to find your blessing. So thank you for giving us these words of truth. And thank you even more, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and just putting your finger on the areas that you're calling us to better places, to deeper places, to more blessed ways of living out our life and our faith. So blessings upon us as we look into this word together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. So a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Talks about a friend loves at all times and times of adversity. Constancy is an important part of real friendship. Constancy, the quality of being faithful and dependable. Those are the kinds of friends that Scripture teaches you want to have in your life. Faithful people, dependable people that are there when you need somebody, right? They're the kind that got your back more than in just a quip of words. I got your back, but you know, these are not the kind that are just kind of hanging out friends that really don't, the friendship doesn't go beyond, you know, maybe something we do together, a common interest. These are not the kind of friends that just have maybe a sports team or a hobby in common, or maybe you eat lunch together. A drinking buddy is somebody that kind of falls into that. You know, we come together for this, but we don't really do anything beyond that, right? This is something beyond that. Because it says not just in all times, but all times and in times of adversity. Constancy. And it's what we as the church are really striving to grow into. It's what we're really striving to do and become is a church where there's constancy. We're faithful and dependable, not just to show up to church, although that's important, but show up for one another, right? We're called to be there for each other. This next verse I'll bring in says, one who has, that's in the middle there, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We find out sometimes who our fair-weather friends are when you think you have a friend that's going to catch you. And then the trust fall moment happens. You know what a trust fall is? You know, you ever do that in school when you're a kid? Six people line up behind you, they block their arms, and you close your eyes, and you just fall back. And you trust that they're going to catch you, right? How many people have ever done that before? Let me see here. Yeah, a lot of us have done that. How many people actually didn't get caught? There's a few. It's like, you're like, I trust you completely. You're going to catch me. And then, bam, down you go, right? Maybe that was because somebody was playing a trick on you. Maybe because they just didn't do it right. I don't know. It's harder in life, right, than just falling down on our backside. When the trust fall moment happens, and you think somebody that said they're a friend is going to be there for you, and they're not. That's the hard part. That's why, at the top, we should choose our acquaintances with grace, choose your friends with wisdom. There are people that are great and fine to have in our lives who are acquaintances. They're people we joke around with, we hang out with, we do different things, and we want to have a gracious heart. We want to be able to be friends with all kinds of different people, and that's great. That's important. We should be interacting and loving and spending time with a lot of different types of people. But the people that you want to call your friends, you need to choose with wisdom. Spirit-led wisdom. Lord, show me the people that I can really trust. This is somebody that I know is truly going to have my back, right? Does that cause us to sometimes have to rethink who our friends are? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes, because if we think the person's got our back, but they've shown us at different times that maybe they really don't, then we might have to rethink how we interact with that person, how much we trust them, how many of our important things of our lives we put in their hands, right? And that's just wisdom. That's just wisdom. It's not easy, but it's better than, you know, the alternative of being disappointed and being hurt as a result of it. God has friends for us, true friends that are constant. We sometimes need to just say, Lord, show me the people that are going to build me up and be there for me and show me what a real godly friend is. And then choose people that you know are going to be constant, have shown themselves to be constant and faithful and dependable. That's an important thing in life, right? Also, a true friend has candor. We don't use that word a lot, do we? Candor. It's the quality of being, well, the definition said the quality of being frank, but I thought, I'm not going to use that. But you get the idea. It's the quality of being open and honest in your expressions, a forthrightness to say, I care enough about you to tell you the truth, right? Do you have friends like that? That they'll tell you what you need to hear, even if you don't want to hear it. That's why this verse says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Oh, it's all good. It's all good. You know, you're great. You're wonderful. It's just fine the way you are. That's our world is full of a culture that says you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Right? And Scripture says, no, that's an enemy. If all they're going to tell you is no matter what is in your life, you're fine, they are not your friend. They are not helping you. What you need is wounds from a friend sometimes that can be trusted. Sometimes we need people to kind of go, ouch, right? And we really need to be thankful for those types of friends that are willing to share hard truths with us. Because you know what? It's never easy, is it? Is it ever easy to tell somebody something they don't want to hear? Is that easy for you? Some people, it is. I'll just be honest. There are some personalities that's like, I don't have any problem with it. Bam. And that's... But typically, generally, it's not an easy thing to do to just say, you know, by the way, something I need to talk to you about. We got to build up the courage to say those kinds of things. And it's usually about something that either we can't see, we just can't see it, or we don't see it. It's just we're oblivious to it, or we won't see it. I don't want to see that, right? That's that whole idea of walking around with blinders on. Everything's fine. I don't see anything over there, right? It could be something as simple as, are you sure you want to wear that to that event? Or as difficult as, you know, I saw how you talked to that person and you probably shouldn't have said it that way. That was really not or what you said wasn't right. Those, you know, it could be that, anything in between, right? So when we have a friend that is has candor, we need to be willing to take their statements of candor and honesty and forthrightness as constructively as we can, right? Because wounds from a true friend, if they truly are a friend to you, they can be trusted, can't they? I'm not saying that they're going to be infallible, but they'll be out of a heart of concern and care for you, and you can trust that's where it's coming from, right? To surround ourselves with yes men and yes women, yes teenagers, yes whatever, to surround ourselves with people that just say, yep, well, okay, no, that's fine, everything's good, it's detrimental to us. It doesn't help us. We need to have friends that are willing to have candor with us. It's one of the things the Bible teaches the body to do. It's part of where transformation happens, is as we speak God's word to one another, and they're not always easy words, right? But we're able to speak them together to one another out of love, out of true friendship and love. So find friends that are constant, that have candor with you, honesty. Also, find friends that are willing to, that you can look to for counsel. That may seem like something, the same thing as candor, but it's not necessarily. Candor is the things that you don't necessarily ask for, but somebody's willing to say it. Counsel is the things like, let's talk about this together. Let's see if we can help one another. This verse, I think, is interesting. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Interesting that the Bible uses the whole idea of smell. Isn't smell an interesting thing? Are there certain smells that make you go, all of a sudden, that smell just explodes memories in your mind of certain things? You know what one of my favorite smells is? For those of you that know, I like to go to Brown City. It's cow poop. Why it says it smells horrible. It smells, there's a dairy farm right across the street from Brown City. I didn't tell you that when I invited you guys out there, did I? We drive in and get out of the car, and that smell has with it 30 years of meeting with God out in the cornfields. And teenagers and young people and God working and putting a calling on my life. I mean, so many things that God did it in my life through that camp. And smells really bring back memories, and pretty intense. So it says, perfume, incense, bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from heartfelt advice. Advice is connected with that joy of a smell. It's the happiness of, I got good counsel. Man, that I'm so glad that this friend was there for me and had good counsel. Someone that I could count on to just go and talk to and know that they're gonna have heartfelt, caring advice. A genuine friend is there and willing to invite and offer wise counsel or even a healthy clash of views, right? A good friend is willing to kind of mix it up with you if you're not on the same page, right? Sometimes it's like, I don't think that's right, or I think this is. So that's this next verse in the next slide. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? How do you sharpen an axe? What's that? What's that? With a grinder, right, exactly. Do you do that, Donna? Yeah. Part of your, where are you? Oh, there you are. All the way in the back. Yeah. I've got my dad's grinder. And it's just it's a grinding wheel. I turn it on. It's probably about 80 years old. Put my axe on there. And what's it doing? It's scraping. It's rubbing. It's abrasive. Right? It's got to come in contact and be abrasive. Sometimes that is the way that we grow, is through that sharpening that a brother or sister can do and have in our lives. We need them. We need them. We don't need somebody to say, you're fine the way you are, and I'm just dull as dull can be, and I can't, I've got an axe that I got a, doesn't work, doesn't cut, doesn't chop. But somebody said, well, your axe is fine, right? Until somebody who cares about me says, your axe is dull, you need to sharpen it. And we go and we rub off all the dullness and we bring it back and hone it to a nice sharp edge. And then all of a sudden I go back to my life of cutting a tree and it's like, oh my gosh, this thing works great now. Well, I wish somebody had told me to sharpen my axe a long time ago, right? We need friends who are willing to sharpen us. We need that. So we, in the sense of the one doing the sharpening, be prayerful about your counsel. You know why? Advice can be great when you give the right advice. Advice can be not so great when you give the wrong advice, can it? Advice is like that. Advice is like that. Be prayerful about your advice, because you don't want to give them your great ideas. You want the Spirit to lead you as you are talking and sharing with your good friend. You want the Holy Spirit to lead you and show you what should my friend be doing. And not that God's going to necessarily tell you. Sometimes we have to be much more sparing in our advice and much more liberal in saying, you need to pray and ask God what you should do. You need to really seek God about that. We better that we help them to sort through all the different things of their situation. Give them clarity in what they're seeing. And then encourage them to seek God about it. That's really the better plan. But sometimes we need to be able to give wise counsel as well, biblical counsel. And in order to do that, what must we do? We got to be in the Word, or else it's my advice. We don't want to give them my advice. We want to give them God's Word and move them towards seeking the Spirit's leading. So if you're going to give counsel, you need to be in this book. And you need to be prayed up. Then you can be the kind of friend that is able to give advice and have candor with somebody because it's more Spirit-led, right? You see, they've all been C words. Constant, candor, counsel. And the last word is kind of a C word. We need to encourage one another. But that's a great word, though. It really is a C word, because to encourage somebody is to give support and confidence and hope. Have courage. Have hope. Have strength. Have confidence in God. That's encouraging, is just giving somebody courage. That's all that is. So it actually is a C word. Does that matter? Not really. Unless you remember it as you're choosing your friends. But I'm hoping that you're writing these things down in your faith journal. These are the things I want to have in my friends. I want to have in my friends. This great verse, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them, me or you, falls down, we've got somebody there that can help us up. so sad for the one that has no one. So sad. It's what this is talking about is you're blessed when you have someone right there. You're walking through and doing life together now rather than falling down and saying, I need a friend. When you're walking through life with a friend and you stumble and you fall, you look and you guess who's nearby? A friend who's walking with you. It's a powerful thing. It's why the body of Christ is something that everybody is a part of. And we're called to do life together, not just on Sunday, but as in relationship. We're called to walk through life together. It's this lived out, the church is, or should be. We need people that are going to give us the, you can do this through with God's help. He's going to help you. This is what the promise of God says. Look at what it says. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. He's going to be with you, and I'm going to be with you. God is able. I'm here with you. That's the kind of friend you want walking alongside you. And when you have that type, you have a friend that's willing to counsel you and give you candor, right? But what is it? What is the need for us? We need to be friends that listen, right? We need to be able and willing to listen as God is working through our friends, right? If we find ourselves falling down at the same place 10 times later, and we look and we find that the friend is no longer there to pick us up, sometimes we find ourselves there because we continue to not listen to what God is saying through our friend. And time goes by and we find that I'm really on my own because I refuse the blessings of friendship. We have to be a people who will listen. We have to be a people who will not just give but receive, right? And really, and this is something that I remember hearing about when I was a kid. I remember moving into our new house when I was 5 years old. Ah, scary stuff. I didn't have any friends. I'm a new kid on the block, and I was a shy kid to begin with. And I remember my mom telling me, you know what the best way to make friends is? Be a friend. And those of you that know my memory know I don't remember a lot. I remember that. The best way to make friends and to have friends is to be a friend. Be someone who is constant to others. They're faithful. Be someone that's willing to speak loving truth. Be someone that's in the Word and ready to say, this is one of the promises of God, you know, to give counsel. Be someone who is willing to encourage other people. When you're doing those things, you know what you end up with? Friends, right. You end up with friends because you simply are a friend to others. So, we live in a culture that encourages a lot more acquaintances than it encourages real, meaningful friendship. It does. It encourages surface a lot more than real life together. So I would encourage you, if you're looking at your friendscape, say, I need more of this type of a friend in my life. Ask God to help you to find that kind of a friend. Maybe ask God to help you to be that kind of a friend because your current acquaintance, you may find, goes much deeper when you take it deeper. Right? Sometimes somebody has to be, it could be a long-time friendship that nobody has really gone to take it to a deeper place of that type of commitment. And all it takes is for the one person to say, I'm going to take it there. I'm going to, maybe it starts with just encouraging in ways that are more meaningful than you have in the past. I don't know. Maybe you have a friend that you knew there was some things that you would be helpful for him to talk about. And so you gin up your courage, you get yourself ready, and you go and say, I was just wanting to talk to you about this. I just felt like maybe I could encourage you or pray for you about that. And you start going to deeper places, and all it takes sometimes is just one little step in that direction. And all of a sudden, what was maybe a shallow friendship or an acquaintance blooms into something much deeper. Why? Because you begin to pray and ask God to use you to be a friend. So I don't know where you're at, but I know that God wants us all to have friends like that, that are constant and faithful, that have candor, forthrightness towards us, that are willing to give us good counsel, that are willing to give us courage and encourage us. That's God's desire. It's His design for each one of us. So I want to take, as we close, and I'm just going to close in prayer tonight, just give you a moment to just open your heart to God and let Him put His finger on where maybe your next steps of prayer and seeking Him might be in regards to friendships. Just take some time with Him for a moment. Thank you, God, for how you designed us. Thank you for the joy that you have prepared for us in meaningful friendships, biblical, deep friendships, Lord God, that just make a difference in the stuff of life. Thank you for designing us that way, and I thank you by faith that you have friends for each and every one of us in mind. Whether they're in our lives already or are not there yet, thank you, Lord, that you have friends that we will be able to not only receive from but give to. And what a blessing that will be in our lives. So thank you, Lord, for leading us to those good friends. Thank you for helping us to deepen those friendships. And thank you, Father God, for leading us by your Spirit to new friends, Lord, that maybe we don't even know about yet, but you have in mind. So all this we give to you, and we'll thank you for it as we go through our day today. We will celebrate your great love for us and each and every person that we meet during this coming week. All this we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. God bless you. Go and be a friend.